for this afternoon's worship service. I invite you to turn in your Bibles or follow along on the screen as we read together from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we'll begin reading at verse 18 and read through verse 39. After we have read from Romans 8, we will turn briefly to John chapter 10 for our text, John 10. And this afternoon we begin also a study once more of the Heidelberg Catechism, and so we will read Lord's Day 1. Following John chapter 10. So Romans chapter 8, verse 18, the Word of God. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So far from Romans 8, and then briefly from John 10, for our text, John 10, verse 27 through 30. John 10, verse 27 through 30, the words of the Lord Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So far, the reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. As I mentioned, we want to read Lord's Day 1 as well, beginning a review of the teachings of the Scripture as found as summarized in the Catechism. And with Lord's Day 1, questions and answers 1 and 2, we come to some very well-known and very precious words. What is your only comfort in life and death? that I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore by his Holy Spirit he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. How many things are necessary for you to know that you, enjoying this comfort, may live and die happily? 3. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. Let us now come before the Lord in prayer and seek for his blessing on this service. We have been asked in prayer to remember Shalom as they are on outbreak due to COVID, a number of wards and residents in their rooms, and staff unwell. We will pray for God's care and God's relief. Let us pray. Lord our God, we come before you, God of all comfort, through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, and by your Holy Spirit, the Comforter. We bow before you in the afternoon of this day, and we give thanks, O Lord, for all your goodness to us, for all your blessings, all undeserved, all freely purchased for us at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went without blessing. He underwent cursing, so that we who deserve only endless cursing may look to you for endless blessing. We thank you, Lord God, for the only comfort in life and in death, that we may belong to you by faith, that our body, our soul, our whole life may be in your hand, that we may be purchased by the blood of Christ and preserved in the face of all evil, and that we are promised even eternal life. Lord, what a comfort this is. It is a comfort like unlike any other. It is a comfort we could never imagine, never dream up or invent on our own were it not revealed to us that the God whom we have offended and who justly should condemn us forever is a God who has given up his own Son so that we might be rescued and redeemed and restored to you. Lord God, we praise you for so great a salvation. And we praise you also for the privilege that you give to us to be able to hear of this great salvation, to read of it in your word, every Lord's Day to hear it proclaimed from the pulpit, to be taught it from our youth. So many of us, we are privileged above so many others, and we are not deserving of it left to ourselves. We acknowledge, O Lord, we are no different. We are no better than anyone else. It is solely your kindness and goodness and mercy and grace that makes a difference where there is none. We pray we may be humbled by that and that we also may be moved and made to see that we owe so much to you and that we may be very attentive to you, to your words, and that we may not spurn the comfort or reject it through carelessness or rebellion, but that we may receive the comfort in life and in death through surrender to Jesus Christ, the King. O God, we pray for your gracious and powerful work in us all. Also, as we begin another series of sermons on the Catechism, we pray that it may be so profitable for us to consider again how great our sins and miseries are. So profitable to learn once more how we may be delivered from all our sins and miseries. So profitable for us to learn how to show true thankfulness to you for so great a deliverance. We pray to be good students in your school. We pray, O Lord, to be made tender by your Holy Spirit. We pray that the outcome of all of this may be that we love Christ and that we live to honor and praise Christ in all things. Lord, let there be no hindrances to the message this afternoon through having to listen at home. We pray for families, we pray for children and young people, we pray for fathers and mothers. It can be easy, Lord, to be distracted or not to pay as much attention. We pray that we may be protected from that. We pray that upon each home and upon each family and upon each soul, you would set a holy awe and a holy reverence as we together may consider the deep things of God. Lord, we pour out our souls to you in these days in which we live. We commend one another to you. It's a privilege for us to pray for each other as congregation. We pray that we may be diligent in doing so and that you would hear our prayers. We again lift up to you all those who are sick. We pray for those who are dealing with cancer. We pray for Ray. We pray for Hannah. We pray for others with chronic illness and weakness, all undergoing treatment. Lord, remember them. Those who are waiting for surgery, those who are waiting for test results, those whose health hangs in the balance. We pray for those who are sick with COVID. We pray, Lord, that you may remember us, each one, in whatever our particular needs may be, that you would hear us in our cries also in distress, and that you may grant us relief and recovery. We pray that our whole life may be dedicated to the glory of your name. We thank you with Harry and Glenda, that Harry was spared serious damage or danger with the discovery of a blood clot. We pray for him, Lord, that you would grant him further healing and strength and bless the means to that end and remember him. We pray, Lord, for our elderly people, our shut-ins, all those who are at home and confined now to their rooms also because of the outbreak at Shalom. We pray for them that you will be near to them, that you will be very, very close to them in their time of isolation. And may they be able to say that the Lord stood by me, stands by me, stands by us, and strengthens us. Will you uphold them, O Lord? And will you grant also to the staff at Shalom safety? And will you protect them and heal them, those who are sick? And if it can be, Lord, spare also further sickness. We pray that for the long-term care homes across the region and across the country. And as the virus continues to ravage many sectors of society and stretch our health systems, we pray for all those who are serving in health care, all those, Lord, who are wearied and exhausted. We pray for them that you may yet have mercy and that you may revive and strengthen them. We pray that you may restrain your hand and grant relief and deliverance. Like we sang, Lord, we cry in deep need, and thy help we implore. We pray for our young people and our children, thankful that they are by and large doing well and keeping well. We pray for them that you may remember them in body and soul, that you may use also these days to speak to their hearts and to speak to their souls. We pray, Lord, for Eric Rillofson and Caleb Veenstra as they will be returning to their base at Petawawa later this week. We thank you for the time they could spend at home with their families and loved ones. And we pray that you will bless them in their service in the Canadian Army and that you will protect them and preserve them physically and mentally, but also spiritually. We pray that you will preserve them in the faith. Bless, too, Josh and Amber Summer serving in Alberta. Watch over them and keep them too and strengthen them. We pray for our land and we think of all of our country and all of the provinces and all of the government. We pray for our Prime Minister and commend him to you, Prime Minister Trudeau and his family. We pray that they may be given wisdom. Those who advise him, all the government officials and members of Parliament in their responsibilities. We pray for consciences that are awake and alert. We pray for laws and legislation that honors you and honors truth and righteousness. We pray, Lord, the same for our provincial government and commend to you Premier Ford and his family, praying for their well-being and praying, Lord, for your blessing upon all of their efforts, together with many others, including our own local representatives, to take care of our land and of our people. We pray that you will give wisdom from above. We pray that you will give also throughout our government halls of power, that you will give an awareness of our frailty in a way that people, government leaders and people all across the spectrum learn to bow their knees to you and to seek you in truth. We read about that, Lord, in your word, that there came times when men began to call on the name of the Lord. And if we can't learn to call on you now, when will we ever do so? If this won't bring us to our knees, what will it take for there to be a true and widespread and deep and thorough repentance? O Lord, you have humbled us. Will you give us tender hearts? And will you yet send reviving and renewing all across the land? We pray that you will help your church, that you will strengthen your church and your people. Bless our denomination. Remember every congregation. We're all being stretched by these events, O Lord. Help that we may stay focused and stay unified and stay committed to the truth, and that we may also be kept by you and preserved by you, and that our witness may be such that the light shines with brilliance and has such a drawing power. Christ, you have said, when you are lifted up, you will draw all men to you. May you be lifted up in a way that many are drawn to you. Bless every mission effort we support. Bless every cause, Lord, that we give to. Provide for the ministry of this congregation. Bless the consistory as it will meet over Zoom this coming week, and give wisdom to the consistory in all of its responsibilities. We pray that pastoral care and mutual ministry may not suffer, but that you will uphold us and renew us all as a congregation. We pray too that you will bless the Niagara Christian Gleaners. We give thanks for this ministry and for the work that it has done over the last couple of years, for all the hungry people who have been fed. And we pray that this ministry may continue, and that you will bless all of the work to that end, all the personnel, all the volunteers, all the collecting of excess food, and the sending of it to various parts of this world. Prosper it much, O Lord, and mightily. And may people who are hungry be filled with bread for their bodies. And may they, being filled with bread for their bodies, learn also to be filled with bread for their souls. In the Lord Jesus Christ, the great Savior. Oh, hear our prayer and bless us in Him. In His name we pray. Amen. Commend to you the needs of the church and also of the Niagara Christian Gleaners and the opportunities that God gives you to support in other ways and times and means. Let us at this moment sing further in prayer and praise to God from Psalter number 415. 415, stanza 2 and stanza 10. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me. And the way it ends in stanza 10, come Jehovah and redeem Israel from tribulation. 2 and 10 of 415. Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I wonder how many of us can sometimes hear the coyotes in the night. Where we live, we can on occasion hear them. Often when the train whistle blows, somehow that seems to stir up the animals. We've not only heard them, no doubt many of us have seen them as well, crossing a field or a road, one or two, maybe more. Thankfully, they are not usually dangerous to us as people, I understand. They're more afraid of us than we might be of them, so they stay away. But imagine now that you were a sheep farmer somewhere here in Niagara, and imagine that you kept your sheep outside, and imagine that one night you heard the coyotes howling, many of them, and very close by. Probably every careful sheep farmer, every diligent shepherd would make sure to do whatever it takes to protect the sheep as much as possible, to keep every wild animal at bay and never let them get close enough to hurt or to take away any one of the sheep. That only makes sense. Every shepherd wants their sheep to be safe. But having said that, no shepherd can be 100% successful at it. Some might do very well. Some might protect nearly all their sheep, nearly all of the time. But there is only one shepherd whose sheep are undoubtedly and assuredly and continually safe. There is only one shepherd whose sheep are always secure. And that shepherd, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. His sheep, every single one. His sheep are forever safe. Is that not what we learn also in our text passage? When Jesus says in John 10, verse 27 to 30, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Jesus' sheep are forever safe. What good news that's meant to be this afternoon, even for all who are the sheep of Christ. Let's consider this with three points: the reasons, the comfort, and the summons. Jesus' sheep are forever safe. In the first place, the reason. And the reasons are several. The first reason the sheep are safe is that they are His sheep. He owns them. They are not wild and free and independent. No, they belong to the shepherd. Jesus says in our text, "My sheep, they are His. They belong to Him." And they do so because we read in verse 29 that Jesus' Father has given them to Him. "My Father has given them to me." That's what He says. So Jesus' sheep are His because they have been given to Him by the Father in heaven. Now, what is that all about? Well, it's a reference to the ancient plan of the Father to choose particular people, sinners in themselves. The Father made choices with regard to various individuals, one by one by one, and altogether many. The Father chose them. He identified them. He marked them. He set them aside. And He did so way back in eternity, before the foundation of the world. He did it before any of the sheep even existed, when they were simply ideas and plans in the Father's mind, people He intended to create. And knowing they would fall in Adam and become sinners themselves and deserve to die even, knowing that and even decreeing that, the Father nevertheless chose them to be rescued and redeemed. The Father chose them to be given to the Son. He planned to save them, and He planned to save them through Jesus. And so before the beginning, the Father and the Son held this council together. Much of the detail of it we don't know. It's cloaked in mystery. But the Bible tells us enough to know that there was this council. And in this council, the Father entrusted to the Son numerous people, too many even to count. And the Father handed them over to the Son to be saved by His Son. Now that's all a bit heavy perhaps, but the point is that therefore the sheep belong to the Son. They have been given to Him by His Father. They are His by divine right from eternity past. And so they are not wild and independent and free. Someone owns them. Jesus Christ owns them. They are His and they belong to Him. And so just for that reason, we can assume they will be safe. I with body and soul am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. But there is more, of course. Jesus says, He doesn't just say, my sheep, but He says, I give them eternal life. I give them eternal life. Now we need to realize that that's a loaded statement. Jesus' sheep are His, are safe because they are His. And they are safe because He gives them eternal life. That's a staggering statement. And what makes that so is the fact that by nature, none of these sheep deserve eternal life. Instead, what they deserve, everyone, what they deserve is eternal death. That is what every single sinner deserves, including you and me, every one of us. We all come from the first man, Adam, and Adam fell, and we fell in him. And ever since then, we have been guilty and dirty. And ever since then, we have been rebellious sheep by nature who want to go our own way. So that the shepherd says, this way, and we want to go that way. The shepherd says, follow me, and we want to run the opposite way. The shepherd says, come into the fold, it's quiet and safe here, and we prefer in our folly to live in the wilds. The shepherd says, here is green grass, here is quiet running water, and we think we can find better food and better refreshment, more satisfying if we go out by ourselves and look for it on our own. That's the way it is with all of us who are born into this world. Every single one of us has this same fundamental rebellion by nature. What wicked sheep we are. And for that we deserve to be caught and to be slaughtered. But what do we read concerning Jesus' sheep? I give them eternal life. Again, what a statement. Eternal life. Not just life, but eternal life. In the context of John's gospel and really the whole Bible, that means life without end. But not just life without end. It means life in all of its fullness. Life in full glory. Life full of joy. It means life in perfect harmony and peace with God Himself, in His presence, continually blessed and satisfied and rejoicing in Him. I give them eternal life. How does He do this? How does Jesus give eternal life to sheep who deserve eternal death? Well, we find the answer earlier in John 10. We didn't read it, but we all know it. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He gives his life. And he doesn't speak that just in theory, but he goes on to do exactly that. That's why he came. He came to be a sacrifice for sin and for sinners. He came to pay the price for the rebellion of his sheep. He came to take the judgment they deserve, to be slaughtered in their place. That's why our catechism speaks about his precious blood. And how by means of his precious blood, he has fully satisfied for all our sins. And that means he has paid for them in a way that God no longer charges them, no longer sees them, no longer even remembers them. He chooses to forget them. They are gone. And if they are gone, then we are clean. If our sin is gone, then we are new. And with perfect freedom, Jesus can give to his sheep the gift of everlasting life. That is why they are safe. They are his sheep, and he has paid for them, and he has given them and promised them eternal life. And still there is more in terms of the reasons. Because Jesus goes on to say about all his sheep, Jesus goes on to declare, they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So he has them in his hand. And his hand is so strong. His hand is so safe. His hand is an almighty, invincible hand. And there's a promise. You will not perish when you are in the hand of Jesus Christ. But that's not all, because Jesus goes on in 29 to speak about the hand of his Father. Because the fact is that if we are in Jesus' hand, then we are likewise in the Father's hand. The picture just gets more and more powerful as Jesus speaks. What he does really is he takes his sheep into his own hand, and then he puts them into his Father's hand. Isn't that what we learn in the gospel? That being justified by faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. So we are safe in Christ, and therefore we are safe in God. If we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, then we shall safely abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And if we are there, if we are in Christ's hand, and so also in the Father's hand, well, Jesus says the Father is greater than all, meaning there is no enemy who can overcome the Father. There is no coyote that can ever steal from the Father, not from the Son either. But Jesus here is doubling the promise and doubling the assurance. The Father is so great, together with the Son, and because of that, Jesus says again, no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Then he ends with that majestic word in 30, I and my Father are one. And he doesn't mean one person, but he means one in purpose, and one in power, and one in protecting the sheep. And see, that is why, therefore, Jesus' sheep are forever safe. They are his sheep. He has given them eternal life at the cost of his own blood. And he guarantees their safety and protection by his hand and in his Father's hand. That is why Paul can write in Romans 8 that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing. Not death. Not life. Not angels or principalities or powers, not things present or things to come, not height or depth, not any other creature, not any coyote, not COVID with all of its myriad complications, not all of the dangers and toils and snares and trials and temptations and whatever else there might be. Jesus is greater still, and the Father is greater still, and God Almighty is the God overall. There's no place so safe and secure as to be in Christ's hand and then in the Father's hand, and to be one of the sheep who belong to the shepherd. No one can take us away. And just think now of the comfort of that. So we've looked at the reasons, but our second point, the comfort. It is a comfort to be safe and to know we are safe. It is a comfort because the fact is the world isn't safe. All around us are many threats. There are, as it were, many wild animals, wolves and bears and lions and tigers and sins and demons and more. And they all threaten the security of the sheep. Jesus' sheep need his care. Just think, for instance, of sin. Think of sin. Think of the guilt of sin. Maybe old sins. Maybe new sins. Can sin, with its just demands that we pay, can sin take us down? Of course, we still sin, every sheep of the Lord. Till our dying day, we will struggle against our sinful nature. Sometimes fall very grievously. But Jesus says nothing can take you away, and that has to include sin. Including when sin comes at us with all of its drawing power, when it tempts us, maybe to unbelief. Do you know what it is to be tempted to unbelief? Sometimes thoughts can crowd into your mind. Sometimes ideas can come up in your own heart. Can unbelief take you out of the hand of Christ if you are one of his sheep? No. What about the drawing power of pride or immorality or ungodliness or great rebellion? What about all manner of temptations? No Christian can escape temptations. We have to be on guard and we have to resist. And all that is true. But here is the comfort that Jesus' sheep may lay hold of by faith. If we are his sheep, we will not perish. Jesus' sheep will not succumb to the point of destruction. Same with the devil when he attacks. Our adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion. Part of our problem is that we don't believe that so often. We don't take him seriously. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We should reckon with that. But at the same time, we may know that we are safe in the hands of Christ. And though we hear the roars of the devil, and though we may be subject even to the pawings of the devil and the bites of the devil, and maybe even he can get a hold of us in a way he tries to drag us out of the hands of Christ. Just think of what he was trying to do with Peter. There, when Jesus was on trial, and the devil was tempting Satan to deny the Lord Jesus. The devil was tempting Peter to deny the Lord Jesus. And three times he did so with cursing. And elsewhere Jesus says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you." It was the devil trying to take Peter away, trying to take Peter out of the hand of Christ. And that can happen. That is why we need to watch and pray and be vigilant. And we need sometimes to do a great battle with the devil. We need to wield the shield of faith, and we need to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we need to stand against all the wiles of the devil. But the comfort is that ultimately Jesus delivers us from all the power of the devil. Isn't that what we confess in Lord's Day 1? He delivers us. And though we may have to endure many a battle and suffer many a blow and a bruising, and God makes no guarantees about that, but what he does guarantee is that the devil will not ultimately prosper. Paul can say to the Romans in Romans 16, "The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly." Satan cannot take the sheep away. And what comfort, again, there is in that. Comfort. But think of the world. Think of the world in all of its enmity and hostility. Think of the world as it goes about actively resisting the people of God and doing all that it can to hate them. Think of the people who maybe we can meet who oppose you or oppress you. How many sheep of the Lord have to endure that? Hateful neighbors, unfriendly colleagues, a wicked boss, or even family members who resist you. What a trial that can be. And if they torment you, or if they try to talk you out of the hand of God, or maybe they think of ways to tempt you and draw you away, the world is not an easy place to live as a sheep of the Lord. But Jesus, as the shepherd, is not concerned. He doesn't flinch in the face of the world. It is still true that his sheep are safe. It is still sure and certain that his sheep are secure. Then there is another danger in the world, and that's simply the fact that this world is broken and miserable. As much as there is beauty and blessing in this world, at the same time, what a valley of tears this world turns out to be. What a lot of suffering we may have to endure and go through. And sometimes it can seem like for a sheep, all that suffering can drag us right out of the hand of Christ. And we maybe wonder that or worry that. What if sometimes all that we face or feel become so powerful that we slip through the fingers of the Savior and fall away? But again, Jesus is unwavering. There is no qualification. My sheep shall never perish. Our catechism goes so far and really just quotes Scripture when it does so, but it states that without the will of our Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from our head. That's how secure. That's the detail of that care. And all things must be subservient to our salvation. And that means that all things must work together for good. And that means we can greet every day and everything with that confidence that no matter what sense or little sense we can make of what is happening in our life, this still must be true. God is at work, and God will make this turn out well. He turns away all evil, or He turns it to our profit. And again, what a comfort, don't we have to say, all of this, all together, the sin that threatens, the devil that threatens, the world that threatens, all of these enemies, all of this noise. Think of how the coyotes can howl sometimes so close. And imagine if they are howling even in your ear and you can even hear the snapping of their jaws and you might think, is this it? But no, says Jesus. Here is comfort for body and soul, for life and death. When we belong to Him, He has bought us, He has purchased us. He has done so at the cost of His own blood and according to the Father's will, and He guarantees to us eternal life. And we will never perish, and no one and nothing shall be able to snatch us out of His hand or out of the Father's hand. It's a very vivid word, snatch. Think of a thief snatching a wallet or a wad of cash out of someone's hand. He grabs it and then he rips it away. And there are enemies that want to do that with Jesus' sheep. And they may conspire and they may scheme and they may attempt. But the shepherd says, back off. You cannot touch my sheep. What a comfort that's meant to be. Instead of living in fear, we can live in assurance of eternal life. And so we can give ourselves to serving the Lord. That's what He seeks for. That's what He nurtures. That's what He works. Jesus' sheep are forever safe. The reasons, the comfort. And then one more point, the summons. The summons. That means the call. And what is that call? What is that summons? Well, isn't it to make sure that we are one of the sheep of Jesus? Isn't it to make sure that we too share in that comfort, that only comfort in life and in death? That is the great call of the gospel, the great summons of the shepherd. We have to remember that not everyone is in Jesus' fold. Not everyone knows that comfort. By nature, we are all outside the fold. And by nature, we are all really comfortless. And the way Jesus works is through His Word and Spirit to call sinners to Himself. What a privilege that in the church, on the field of the covenant, we are especially close. And we may particularly hear this shepherd. We may see Him as He appears in the gospel, as He appears in the pages of His Word. We may see Him up close and personal. But the point is to hear Him and all that He says to us, including as He points out to us our need, how great our sins and miseries are. And as He proclaims Himself as the only shepherd, the only deliverer, the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And as He lays out the path we are to walk in thankfulness and in praise to Him. Now Jesus says, my sheep, what do? They hear my voice. And the summons that comes to you and to me is to hear the voice of the shepherd. We're not saved just because we grow up hearing about safety. We're not comforted just because we know how to recite Lord's Day 1. The key question is whether we have learned to listen. Really to listen to Jesus Christ. To turn to Him and trust in Him. How many of us can say by the grace of God that we have and that we do? How many of us can say that somehow in a way we maybe don't fully understand, but He opened our eyes and He opened our ears And he opened our heart. And he enabled us to turn to him and trust him. He enabled us, and he's working in us, to follow him. That's the explanation for our life. And the evidence is that Jesus matters. The shepherd matters. We hear the voice of the shepherd. Maybe sometimes we struggle, but we hear and we follow. We hear and we know that voice, and we love that voice. And we're persuaded that voice is right and true. So we look to the shepherd, and we love the shepherd. And we seek to live in faithfulness to the shepherd. And when that's us, what do we find? And what do we experience? Safety through many dangers, toils, and snares. We're nevertheless safe. The wild animals can howl, and so many other things can threaten us and scare us and endanger us. We can have moments of weakness and moments of trembling. But we learn, and every sheep learns this more over time. The shepherd keeps us. He protects us. Has he not done so till now? And will he not do so till the end? Jesus' sheep are forever safe. Isn't that good and rich? And the summons then that comes is to keep on listening to the shepherd and to keep on following in the shepherd's way. And what about if till now you have never followed? Let me speak yet to those who up till this moment have not personally heard the voice of the Good Shepherd. You may know the Bible, but you haven't heard the voice of the Shepherd in a way that you've turned to him and begun to follow him. You might be a good person. You might be a smart person. You might be a popular person, a successful person. And you might think everything is fine. But the truth of the Word of God is this. If you are not listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd and following after him, you are out in the wilds alone. And the animals are all around you. And they are all lurking for you and looking for you for an opportunity to take you down. When they find you, they will kill you. And countless people have already fallen, and many more will fall still. And if you remain away from Jesus Christ, you will undoubtedly perish. Jesus' sheep are forever safe. If you are not one of Jesus' sheep, you can never be safe. And the reason is that you are a sinner. And you deserve judgment. And God in his holiness will bring that judgment. And when it comes, it will never end. And you will never find security again. What has to happen, congregation, is that we hear the summons of the Good Shepherd. Children and young people, how good if you hear it and respond to it when you are just little lambs. Before you get to be an old stubborn sheep. Oh, old stubborn sheep can still hear. But the older we get, so often the harder we become, also in the ways of sin and evil. Don't anyone do so any longer. Listen to the call of the shepherd. Listen, young people. Listen, children, as he summons you through his word, as he says to you, follow me. Wherever you are, and with whatever situation you might be in at this moment, he says to you, follow me. And you need to turn to the sound of his voice. And you need to start following him. And you need to go to his word. And you need to go to him in prayer. And you need to say to him, what a miserable sheep I am by nature. Please save me and keep me. And he will. He will. And if you say, I don't even know if I can go to him, because maybe the coyotes have gotten to you already, and you lay on the ground somewhere broken and bleeding and in pieces. Or maybe you have wandered so far out of the way, you're in the briar patch, and you are stuck, and you can't follow. But can you hear his voice? Can you hear him calling? If you can hear Him calling you as He is through the gospel, then listen well. Be that sheep that will not be quiet, but call out to Him to come and rescue you, to deliver you. And He will take you into His arms wherever He finds you. And He will wrap you up close to Himself. And He will heal you. And He will restore you. There is no excuse for anyone to remain apart from the shepherd of the sheep. Oh, congregation, Jesus' sheep are forever safe. Let us all be Jesus' sheep. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, we come to You in the name of Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. And how amazing it is, Lord Jesus, that Your sheep are forever safe. They are Your sheep. And You have bought them by Your blood. And You promise that they are in Your hand and they are in Your Father's hand, and there is no one and nothing that will take them out. What a comfort, Lord, in a world of danger, in a world of enemies, and when we know our own weakness and our own frailty, when we can be so foolish too as sheep, what a comfort to know that if we belong to You in body and soul, then in life and death, You will be our faithful Savior. We pray that we may be sheep who hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and who follow Him. Lord Jesus, forgive us when we stray. Forgive us when we wander our own ways. Help us in this new year. Help us to pay close attention to all that You are saying to us. Help us daily to be studying Your word, daily to be meditating on Your truth, daily to be walking in Your ways. And we pray for those who may have listened this afternoon, who up till now have never followed the shepherd. Oh God, we pray that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You will incline their hearts to hear and to follow. And those who may be so broken and bruised and stuck in their sin, unable even to come, that they may call to You, that You will find them and that You will save them. Let there be no one listening who will not be a sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that we could hear Your word today. We pray for Your blessing as this week has begun. We feel our dependence on You, Lord, for every breath that we breathe. Will You strengthen us in our work, in our family life, in all our ways? And will You hear our prayer? And will You forgive our sins for Jesus' sake? Amen.